Hey everybody, before we start the show, I wanted to remind you that we have shows coming up in LA at the Ebell Theater July 13th. Also be on the lookout for a brand new show in Austin, Texas. That's right, Austin, Texas. In early July, we are planning a trip out there for maybe an afternoon show. We're still trying to figure out an exact venue for our Austin gig, but we will be there for a league 10-year reunion at ATX, and we're going to get some How Did This Get Made action out there, too, with June. But today's show is brought to you by Lisa. Lisa knows mattresses. Do you know what Lisa is? Well, Lisa is basically the solution to a healthier, happier you. Why? Because they have a multi-layer foam mattress that's made with premium foams for cooling and contouring and pressure relieving support. Okay, Lisa mattresses cradle my body like I'm a baby and they're my mother and they're just putting me together and I feel good and I feel comfortable and I feel cool and I feel relaxed. People, Lisa is my mother, but she's also my mattress. It's advanced, it's luxury, it's a hybrid mattress. People, you gotta get in. Don't miss out on finally being touched the way that you need to be touched by a foam mattress. Live healthier, live happier by resting deeper. Order today. Get 15% off your purchase for a limited time at Lisa. That's LEESA.com/bonkers and use the promo code bonkers. Seriously, people, I have a Lisa pillow that I'm using and I love it. Even their pillows are good. Or pillows? I don't know how people say it. I've said it weird and I'm never going to change it. Also, today is brought to you by Squarespace. Turn your great idea into a reality. How? Why? Easy. It's Squarespace. Why? Because that's the only way people get information. Do you think people read anymore, go to the library anymore? No. They just Google something, and whatever they find, they say. How do I know? Because I am one of those people. Okay? So, if that's the way the world is, you need to get a Squarespace page to advertise yourself, your product, your company, your store, your whatever. They have easy templates and the ability to customize just about anything. You can make a beautiful website yourself in just about, I'm going to say, an hour and a half. They probably don't. I'm slow. I did it quicker, but I'm a little hour and a half max. No, they're not saying that. No one's promising. It's not like fucking Domino's. But if you do get stuck, Squarespace has 24/7 award-winning customer support there to help. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. For a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I'm just not a spokesman for the company. I am a user of it. I got three websites up there. Boom. Count them. 1, 2, 3. HDTGMinfo.com. It's a Squarespace site. Hey, everybody. We have some very big touring news. We're doing two giant shows in Los Angeles on July 12th. And 13th, one show a night. The first night is July 12th. It's a Friday. It's at the Wiltern. Tickets start at $25. And on Saturday, the 13th, we are doing a show at the Ebell Theater. Two very different theaters, two very different experiences. So we hope you'll come out. Not that many tickets are left for the Ebell Theater, but there are plenty of tickets left for the Wiltern Theater that just went on sale this week. You can find out all the info that you need at hdtgminfo.com. Also, if you're in Austin, we are doing a show on June 8th as a part of the ATX Comedy Festival. The ATX Comedy Festival celebrates TV comedy. We're doing a league reunion there, and we're also doing a How Did This Get Made special episode at Austin City Limits in the middle of the day at 3 p.m. You head on over to hdtgminfo.com to buy your tickets for that as well. All right, let's start the show. The most adventurous thing I can say about this film is it made me sign up for a Vudu account to rent it. We saw Shanghai Surprise, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Another in-studio episode. Check it out. We're talking about Shanghai Surprise, a movie that I can describe as Indiana Jones, as described by someone who was stoned while watching it and asleep while describing it. Here is a quick listen to a scene from the film.
Worse than lunatics. Two missionaries and a glow-in-the-dark Thai salesman do not just stroll up to people and ask if they've seen 1,000 pounds of opium lying around.
Told you we picked the wrong man.
I mean, this time, they threw us in the fish. Next time, we get grinded into cat food.
That's right. Shump and Madonna and Jason Opening thoughts here. Jason Manzoukas is my co-host.
This was hard to watch.
Yeah.
This is bad. This is un... This is... I was... This was tough. This was a tough hang. By the way, Paul, this entire movie available for free on YouTube.
Oh, did not realize that. Did not know that.
Yes, for free on YouTube.
Well, there we go.
Which is, by the way, adds it to the pantheon of truly reprehensible movies that we watch, because only a movie that truly nobody cares and is monitoring, so that nobody, no studio, yep, no production company is trying to take it down off of YouTube. Only the worst of our movies are allowed to live in perpetuity, rent-free on YouTube.
And that voice that you are hearing, of course, is my other co-host, June Diane Raphael, who watched this movie at 5 in the morning this morning.
Holy cow.
So, actually, I woke up. I think it is important to set the scene.
Please do.
Sort of where I was at. First of all, I'm premenstrual.
Got it.
Great.
So that's going to play a pretty big part in my viewing of this film.
You're going to fall in love with this movie.
No, I'm very angry.
Do you have an opinion on this era of Madonna? Like, this kind of Madonna starts to act. Madonna
so is this before or after
Desperately Seeking Susan?
Desperately Seeking Susan.
This is the second Madonna movie.
And then the third one.
I loved Desperately Seeking
Susan. So good.
Susan.
So good.
I
also loved A League of Their Own.
She was great.
Those are the two good Madonna performances.
Should we bring in our guests? Or
can I say one other thing about how I saw this movie? Because it is so important. Because I was also angry, but I think I'm angrier because there was a sound machine on in our son's room that was just birds chirping loudly.
I can defend that. First of all, you're slightly wrong on this because it is a sound machine that you can pick different sounds on, and during the night the birds are chirping, but in the morning real birds were chirping, and June was like, turn off that sound machine. But I had already turned it off, and she was mad at the real birds that were chirping outside the window.
Well, that's true. But before, last night, when I first heard the birds, I said, that has to end right now. Those birds need to be turned off right now.
But
that's, first of all, that's an insane thing to go to sleep to.
That does seem like that.
Sense.
Birds should not be a setting. Like, it shouldn't be. Here's what my white noise machine at home does. White noise. Louder white noise.
That's all you
not
need.
Not as loud white noise.
That's all
this
you need.
This one does birds, washing machine,
I think what you didn't
trees,
understand
rain.
Is the birds is the morning sound. The birds
you
is a morning sound that you
want.
You put on when you're actually ready to wake up.
Tell it to our four-year-old.
Can I ask you a question? Is this thing have settings for different types of birds?
No.
Is
one
it like,
bird.
Is it like birds of prey? Is it starlings?
It sounds like this. No.
So loud. So the entire
it's basically just the Planet of the Apes monkeys getting angry. That's another setting.
I love that your son goes to sleep to Pack of Coyotes.
Oh my god.
You're raising Tarzan.
The pitch of the bird was so high. So I woke up at 4:50. To watch the movie, but I had been up almost every hour in the hour with the birds.
The birds.
And I had told Paul the night before, whatever you do tonight, I know you're going to be watching movies, preparing for your podcasts. You do.
The plurality of that S was frankly an indictment.
Shots fired.
Wow.
That S
whatever
says
you
everything.
Do tonight,
just trying to
fine.
Work. Just
I'm
trying to
going
work.
To sleep. Just turn the birds off. The birds were never turned off. Okay. Now, the birds, it's not like I could run into the room and just, like, slap a button.
No.
They're attached to an app.
Oh.
I couldn't even turn off the birds if
I was
I
trying to get you to get that app on your phone.
Oh, God.
I can't download an app.
All right. Well, please.
Welcome back to Paul and June Working It Out, Episode 1.
So please know I was on very little sleep with birds, both through the app
you
and then
loved
real
it.
Birds chirping.
Your initial thing is that you loved it. Please welcome our guest. He's a returning How Did This Get Made favorite. He's a director. He's a writer. He's a performer. He recently released a brand new series on Shudder, which is this awesome kind of Netflix for horror, thrillers, and suspense. It is called Critters, A New Binge, kind of reinventing this franchise just a little bit. Please welcome Jordan Rubin. Welcome, Jordan.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sitting here in silence as we really got into it about YouTube and sound machines.
There was almost a marital spat for a second.
I was trying to tell you, look, when Gus wants me to play all the different sounds on the sound machine, he picks birds.
It is not
that should
a
not
sound
be an option.
To, it's
it
not an option, by the way. It is an option to wake up to. Like, oh, what should happen is you've been up with the deep fan or the white noise or the pink noise or the brown noise.
And
you've been
which is just like brown the sound noise. Of diarrhea.
What is brown noise? I've never heard brown noise.
It's the real thing. It's just a different tone and setting.
Wait, isn't the brown note, like, isn't he the brown note, like, you shit your pants?
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I think it's just the sounds of plop, plop, diarrhea. By the way, that's what I would go to sleep to if I could.
I think the birds are supposed to come on. You're supposed to set them for when
morning.
It's time. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the right, sound because, machine, yes. You can actually set an alarm on it so your child knows, like, this is when I'm supposed to go up. Birds.
Well, here's what doesn't happen naturally. A nighttime full of bird song. You know what? You know when you're walking around at night, you know what you don't hear? Trees full of birds going wild.
And if you do, you should be very concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Something
that's like,
is off
they
the
are planning
order.
Something.
It's all white noise, people. The movie came out in 1986.
This movie or the movie White Noise?
White Noise.
Wait, sorry, real quick, but June said she was annoyed by the morning birds. Aren't you guys successful enough that you can turn down real birds these days?
I mean, I told June, I gave her a BB gun. I'm like, you have at it.
I sent Paul frantic text.
Turn off those birds.
I have it right here.
I like the concept of that to someone who's receiving it, thinking those birds exist in nature.
Calling up the what do you have?
Please turn bird sounds off.
That was a text to Paul?
The last text I got from him was at 9:50. I asked him how long the movie was, and he said, movie is 1:37. The next text, please turn bird sounds off.
Oh, my God.
I watched the movie last night and fell asleep during it. Couldn't handle 20 minutes, and I finished it this morning.
This movie is a weird movie. 1986, it comes out. I did not realize it was a period piece.
Oh, yeah.
It takes place in 1937 and 1938.
Which you have young, hot Sean Penn, Madonna, looking great in their clothes of the time.
Yeah.
Let's throw them into a period piece.
It's so crazy to me that they would both do it because, first of all,
who could be more synonymous with contemporary life in 1987 than Madonna?
Exactly.
And then you make her a missionary?
Yes.
Right.
A nun?
I loved that
a missionary
part.
Nun. And then, like, Sean Penn, who I think turns in many a great performance.
Yes.
Even in this era.
Yeah.
In this era, he's doing amazing work.
Exactly.
This one, he felt like, it felt like he's in this period piece as a California dude. It was like there was no choice
I
of.
I get the sense for some reason watching the movie, like, oh, Sean Penn directed this.
Right.
Like he was in charge of his. I know, but he was in charge of his performance, Madonna's performance, the look and feel of the movie. Like this just felt like he was able to really.
Embattled during this, right?
Right. Aren't, this is like
in
the
real
height,
life.
Yeah. In like, aren't they? Isn't this the setting of a bunch of volatile instances between them and them and other people?
Yes. This is like basically where everyone was talking about how bad they were. They were the Pens. The Pens come to Asia. As a matter of fact, this
is the era when he was like punching paparazzi too.
Exactly. Right? So this is actually George Harrison produced this film. George Harrison produced many a film.
George Harrison put music into this movie.
I want to get into that.
When George Harrison's voice,
yes.
When his voice came out, I was like, is that George Harrison? Oh,
and George Harrison is in the movie as the nightclub singer.
Yes.
I want to get into those songs, but I want to hear, this is George Harrison just talking about the troubles of shooting this movie on a documentary that Avril found. I mean, there is a documentary about this movie. Here we go.
I mean, in some respects, the press was sort of right in saying certain things. They were a bit over the top. Well, you know, I mean, there was, because the stories were getting out, Sean was not shooting certain days because he was uptight by something he read in the papers, so I felt the only way to smooth things over is to try and get the press to knock it in the head, which they did. I mean, the result of the press conference was they all stopped slagging them off, and then we got the film finished. But it did have terrible effect on the film and the crew.
So how do you feel?
I mean, so they had to hold a press conference in the middle of the movie to tell the press to stop writing bad stories about
the film. To stop, like, provoking them.
Which is, by the way, a testament to how great actors are today, because he was getting annoyed by the morning paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you have Twitter, everything, people talking.
You could be
nonstop.
Yeah. The fact that he wouldn't show up to like set and he's in Asia and in London. It's like so.
So what was being reported?
Well, basically the as George Harrison's talking, they're just showing cover after cover of a newspaper, and it's like Madonna maims press, pens get into fight. Like they're I think they're just they are causing trouble.
Yeah, they are like a super volatile couple and are constantly being provoked by the media to do stuff, you know?
What's so interesting about the movie is you know that walking in that they have this like insane – they both feel like explosive people.
Right.
And yet none of that chemistry translates.
That's not part of the movie.
Not at all.
That's not part of the – yeah, absolutely. They're not putting their what they are into the movie at all.
Because they were so exhausted from doing it off screen.
Right.
But I would argue like
– you're probably right.
There's an element to this movie that you feel like somebody somewhere said – okay, we're remaking African Queen. Like, this is Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Like, that's kind of the energies that are going on here. But there is literally no chemistry between them at all. There's more chemistry with that woman than he fucks in that boat.
African Queen, that's unspooled. That's unspooled right
there. For fuck's sake. That's why the words didn't get turned off.
Did you see? He just tried to sneak a fucking African Queen.
So, you know, if you want to hear me talk a little bit more about
Oh, they're riffing on African Queen, Bogart, Bacall.
You know, we're talking about a couple movies on Unspooled that I think you'll like. Treasure of
Sierra Madre. Keep it to Unspooled, asshole.
You know, this movie had a lot of things about it. If you go back to the old Bacall.
Tell it to Amy Nicholson. Jesus Christ.
was this movie a comedy? Was it a comedy?
I think that's what they wanted it to be. I think they wanted it to be a screwball action comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Like will they, won't they kind of.
Like African Queen.
Like, well, no, I mean, you're right. Like those kind of like foreign serials, that's what this is trading on. And also like
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, Raiders and especially Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
They actually use the same bad guy from Raiders in the opening scene. Belloc,
Which, and then they had that same open. They're almost being chased, it felt like, by locals into the water. It felt like there was so much going on that they were like, just, he did a speech that felt like when he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant or whatever Belloc was speaking about.
I like that character of Belloc, and I gotta say, did not see that reveal. Did you guys see that reveal coming?
Paul Freeman at the end?
Yeah.
I was shocked that I didn't see that.
Yeah.
In that way, was like, how did I not?
This happened to a couple months ago with Gene Simmons and we all saw it coming.
Yeah.
And this did not see coming.
I thought it was like Jeremy Irons with like a mustache on.
I thought I was going to say that and you guys were going to be like, oh no, I knew that the whole time.
That's what I thought
me
too.
I was so embarrassed. I thought, how did I miss this?
I didn't have the energy after watching it, but I almost rewound. I was like, did they use a different actor and swap it out? Because it sold me completely.
I totally bought it. I wished
That character, maybe they didn't because it would have given it away, had been more a part of the movie.
Right.
The old man version of Faraday.
Father Byrne.
Right.
Yes, thank you. By the way,
but he wasn't an old man. He just took the thing off.
Yeah, strange though that there was a Father Burns who comes in at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So and he is
no payoff.
That I was like, wait, so he's impersonating a real person?
Right. I mean, this movie has
around
literally 9 twist endings that you don't care about.
And one of the one that I anticipated the most never happens, which is my natural presumption, maybe because it's Madonna, is that she is like the other setup that this is like a film noir setup and that making Madonna the femme fatale.
Yeah.
So I kept being like, well,
because she's a material girl.
I was waiting for that.
So I was waiting for her turn, for her to be like, oh, working for somebody else, for her to double cross, for her to
never happen.
Never happens, she appears to genuinely be a missionary.
She is a missionary.
I thought she was acting the part of a missionary I thought she was going to double cross and be like, oh no, I'm working for myself. That would make sense as to why Madonna, sex bomb Madonna, who like fucks Sean Penn the day after he fucks the woman who has the jewels.
Yeah.
That was gross.
Why does Madonna after have sex with him? In my mind, I justified it by being like, oh, well, she's not really a missionary.
Missionary sex, though. That was like, she just.
Literally.
Yes.
lit and fig.
It actually wasn't.
She just needed him to go get that opium. But
totally.
And she was willing to do whatever she had to do as a missionary.
But didn't you?
Including reverse cowgirl.
But there, there was something about that scene, and I feel like this is where the movie has a trouble kind of casting Madonna, because
they made her rape him.
Well, she also seems too like, sexy.
Like she's she so goes hot, home, and he's like, nah, I'm good.
And then she's like, I'm gonna, like, whatever. She says something like really like, I'm gonna make you owe me. But it was like very Madonna, like sex pot.
Yeah, you're gonna be obligated to.
Not like a very nervous, like missionary who's never taking off her clothes.
Listen, she can still be a sexual being and be a missionary.
Right.
Okay, I guess I just felt like that part of her character was so incongruous.
It would have made sense. I guess I'm feeling the same thing. There was a tension as to how vivacious Madonna was as somebody who truly would not be, as a missionary, would not have her hair done like that, would not be so, wouldn't present so like vivacious in a way. That was where I was like, this must belie a reveal later that she is in fact not a missionary.
I didn't read it that way. I was like, this is all pent up missionary sexual energy that she finally has an outlet for.
Sure. And I believe that you're right, because obviously that's borne out in the movie.
My problem with the sex scene, which I was like actually kind of into until they cut it. And it's like, wait, we have Sean Penn and Madonna, and this is all right. They had more.
This is what we all want to see.
The basket scene between them was more engaging.
When they're both in baskets, not on camera, you're saying that was more engaging.
That felt like a reshoot. That was like in the corner, and it was the worst.
Yes, when they're both in wicker baskets, falling down the stairs. Hotter than that sex scene
is when they're both in baskets.
Yeah.
This movie starts off on such a crazy premise. They're chasing a lot of opium. Sean Penn is like a nudie Thai salesman. Okay, that glows in the dark. She's a missionary. And one of
those ties are not being sold in 1938.
Nope.
Those colors, I don't think, were available
That's
then.
I love that their hair and even those ties, they're like 80s, 30s people.
Yes.
No, this movie was like, we're just making an 80s movie. We're saying it's 1937. Yeah. Get on board. But there was no choice in any way. To switch it up.
I'm starting to be sold on June's idea that it was all Sean Penn sort of ghost directing everything.
I wouldn't be
like,
surprised.
I'm going to be sexual with you here. You're going to want me.
Yes.
I'm going to be like, you know, you're not going to be a offended. She's like, maybe I could be like, there could be a twist at the end where I'm a bad. Nah, I'll be. I'll
I get
that.
The twists.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely.
I get them twists.
I mean, he definitely has a very intense sex scene. I mean, to the point that I don't even understand.
So many.
Everyone wants to fuck Sean Penn in this movie. And
he's reluctant with both of them. With both of them, he's like, oh, I guess. I don't know.
But then he gets excited about the woman, the one woman who has all of her expertises. And this is I caught a clip of this list. Yeah, this is the list.
I love that. And the person reading the list is this woman's right hand woman who's bathing him. It's not even the woman.
Her PR person.
Her hype. It's her hype woman.
And here we go.
Dress is well schooled in such ceremonial acts as the west wind, the wounded tiger, the willow paw, the chair, the obedient
wife. It really is like a hype.
She has also mastered the six blown breath stimulants, the eight shallow penetrations, the nine minor and 11 major positions, as well as the technique of passive acceptance, forceful dominance, contortion, and mobile union.
That is all the sexual positions. And then when we see one of them, like
Mobile Union.
That sounds like a bank.
I believe that's Gabrielle Union's sister.
Oh, right.
Mobile Union.
The horse tail was just her flicking
her hair
across his chest.
Also, there's one in there where it sounds like they ran out of improv. You know, it's like the wounded tiger, the
impossible.
Winded path, the chair?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get real dirty. What happens there? It's just a chair.
I like the chair. 11 major and 9 minor positions.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that list, I would love a breakdown of that list.
Yeah.
But what I thought in that scene was like his chemistry with her was way more intense than it was with Madonna.
The Empress. Ever.
The Empress. Like when they painted on each other, I was like,
that. I thought that was really cool some scene. Weird twist. Like, oh my God, he looks down and it's like he knows because he knows the language.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sort of reveal of the, and it was like, nah.
No,
I thought you only hear him speak the language once.
Right.
You'll never hear it again, which is, they set up, that's why they chose. He understands it though,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And for his great pitching skills, which I need to ask about this. So was that
foreshadowing of A League of Their Own?
Wait, no. Is he throwing the ball super slow, or is that the camera catching the ball going through the frame? Because I couldn't quite understand.
I couldn't understand why they chose to depict it as like a graphics shot, so yes. that you see the ball floating. It's a knuckleball, so it's supposed to move a lot.
Right.
You know?
So why are we doing the Matrix?
Why exactly? Right. Why shoot it from the side where you would not see
so
it move
very much? So you can see Madonna
much.
That it's passing.
Yeah, exactly. You should be looking at it going straight down towards the guy so you can see it drifting.
Yeah, no, that felt so odd. I thought, because there's a world in this movie where he could have just said, no, I throw the ball and it warps time to go that slow. Because the movie offers up a lot of like really shitty twists.
Doesn't that feel like a studio note where it's like, no, we need a little MacGuffin that he can come back with later to throw.
Yeah, and when he goes to throw it, like, you wouldn't need to be good at a knuckleball, right? Like, he just throws a baseball at one of the guys. It's not like he's got a precision.
No.
It's not like the knuckleball precision.
I felt like I understood at the end something that I had never understood before, which was that he was a failed baseball player.
Yes.
Never
yes.
knew
was that.
That
he wanted that to be a baseball player.
Would have loved that introduced earlier on.
Same.
Yeah.
You know, and it also would have made things like the guy's obsession with him as a baseball guy
yes.
or whatever. His nickname for him is Big Stick or whatever, Big Bad, or I don't remember. But, like, it would have made that guy's, like, all the baseball specifics make sense to him. Like, all of it would have wound
why
up.
Would have given Sean Penn character depth.
Why yeah, was he no. in Shanghai?
What was what?
I think he
why
was.
Why was he there?
I don't know why he was there. I think he was just a.
Who, him? I'm just hanging out, being yeah. looking.
I think he was like, that's oh no, it. He was getting the ties. I assumed he was kind of like selling a low level.
He was also getting tattoos.
Oh no,
tattoos.
He was getting ties to sell back.
Yes,
in
he
the
had
States.
Crates of ties.
He said these will sell back.
That
in
he was bringing
States.
Back.
He was picking up ties.
Correct. But he yeah. also is getting a tattoo of a nudie. This guy loves all the. Our introduction to him is. He loves nudie girls.
No, listen.
He's getting a tattoo. That
I don't
have
mind
nips.
That. I don't mind that as a character trait.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Loving those nudie girls. I'm like a nudie girl kind of guy myself. I feel like that's another Sean Penn. Like, my guy's like obsessed with. His first lines are basically, he didn't even finish the nipples.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
By the way, Kevin, Tom Hanks and Kevin Costner also up for this role at a certain
wow.
point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, the police chief, Maigan.
Yeah.
So
is that the guy whose hands get blown off?
Yes. Yes. We can talk about the whole Shanghai surprise of it all, but in a second. But the fact that he gets his hands blown off and then we next see him smoking with he has his porcelain hands with a cigarette.
Yes.
Wouldn't he have sort of PTSD type like trauma of like fire near his hands?
That's a good point.
Well, I mean, this guy is an idiot.
Yeah, and his experience, once he has porcelain hands and the porcelain hands yeah. prosthetics, he never puts them down by his side.
Never. No, always
they're always in frame.
Like he's going into surgery.
Yes, exactly. He's just scrubbed in and is walking with them almost at his face yes. level.
And you know he was being directed.
Oh, absolutely.
Constant we can't see the left hand.
What if it was a bad props guy and if you put him down, they just fall off?
That's what I think it was. I feel like he needed to keep him up
because
they look heavy. They look too heavy to me.
Yeah.
Also, let's just say two things about this guy. Just the opening scene of the movie, we meet the police chief. He gets his a Shanghai surprise.
The old thing. Shanghai surprise.
Which is like a little homemade bomb. And
which is like a utility belt.
Yes. A Batman-style utility belt.
Which has
you have to go through five to get to the thing?
Five different compartments that are thick and full of stuff, right?
Yes.
Everybody, though, is wearing them under their clothes seamlessly.
Yep. Yes. And this thing is bulky. It's like Chewbacca's, like,
here's
thing.
Here's what I didn't understand.
Chewbacca, another movie on the AFI Top 100 list.
And is the goal, ultimately, is the goal of that Shanghai surprise, blow off hands.
Yeah,
like there's 40 people in that room, 20 people.
And
it's
wouldn't
like,
everybody
blow his hands and we'll get away?
Wouldn't everybody know? One of those Shanghai, one of those belts is that one's a bomb, boss.
I've seen that. That's a Shanghai surprise.
Don't open that one.
Well, we're in Shanghai.
Well, why not just make one pocket?
Because then you couldn't hold anything. It would just have the bomb.
You need to have the surprise and also your stuff. Like, it's a utilitarian.
You need to be able to, it's a purse plus a bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
That is you on your body.
It's like the worst James Bond Q situation.
You got a Shanghai surprise for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah. No, you also need to carry things. No, you got to carry your pass.
You've only purchased a Shanghai surprise for the surprise element.
I would
know.
I would want to carry my passport.
You got to carry your stuff, too.
You know, these days, my phone, and then also I'd want a Shanghai surprise.
If you get caught, the Shanghai surprise might make you get out alive.
It's like having an extra battery for your iPhone. Like, you got to have the iPhone too. You just can't have the extra battery. You know, it's sort of like you need, you know, you are.
It's like having one of those gun lighters, but it's also a gun.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay. And also,
we are not helping make this case.
No. The premeditated nature of it, because Sean Penn's Shanghai surprise was done. Like, Sean Penn basically packed his with jokes. So he didn't need it for storage. Like, Sean Penn put mothballs in there.
By the way, I don't even, maybe I watched it too quick.
Yeah.
How did his blow up?
That's a question I like, would love to get to the bottom.
It was like on a timer.
But how?
But where was it?
We don't know.
We didn't
see him set it up. We didn't see anything happen.
And there was no like brick that
I agree
explodes.
And why would Mygan even touch another belt?
Like, right.
That I couldn't understand.
He's like, all right, give it to me.
I'll look at it.
Like, also, why did they dive in the water? No one else needed to and everyone was fine.
And they just got right out. Right. They didn't swim anywhere.
Swimmingly, I think this movie thought, if we put them in the water, we're upping our production values. Because these fuckers fall in the water.
Well, at the very beginning of the movie.
And they look hot when they get out.
The cold open starts with, you know, Faraday and Uncle Vernon Dursley from the Harry Potter movie.
Oh, love that.
Getting double-crossed and having to jump in the water. And Uncle Vernon Dursley is meant to, like, swim, like, across a great, like piece of water. And I was like, this guy's dead.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Uncle Vernon.
Made it. He already looked like he was struggling running down that ramp.
And by the way, I liked watching him struggle.
Yes.
For how he treated Harry. For what he did.
Deserves it.
Every time he called Harry boy, how dare
you?
Don't
you think maybe this is a prequel to Harry Potter?
This is why
he treated Harry like that, because he had a very tough life.
Oh, right.
All his years in Shanghai.
I also feel
Harry doesn't know anything about Shanghai, the Shanghai years.
I also feel like you have to be so cocky to do in a movie right after the cold open to go 1 year later.
Yeah.
This dramatic 1 year. Like, you have to see the coolest action to earn that.
Especially if none of the characters from that cold open are going to be featured in the next scene.
And it's got to be like, wow, I'm going
to be one year later.
You just didn't recognize
them. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, I was going to say that's actually true. Because 1 year later for new characters, who cares?
But
we don't know. Nothing matters to them.
Yeah. That's the saying that Belloc is our lead character. Like, Belloc is our lead in this movie. But here's the thing that I would say about this movie in general, it's disappointment after disappointment. You're going in to see Sean Penn and Madonna. The opening scene doesn't have it. The opening song, not Madonna. You know, it's like, and then it's like, it's a period film. Like, you're just getting hit time and time again with disappointment. By the time you actually see them, you're relieved, but you're so, I don't know. I just felt like I was already off. I was not on board.
It does you know, for a movie that has such classic structure, for a movie that has such a classic
serial.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we understand what it is. It's constantly not participating in a way that is not fun.
And
this movie could have been a lot more fun. Hijinks. Like, why not let them be? Why not let Sean Penn and Madonna genuinely fall in love and have her double cross him and have him have to deal? Like, all of those tropes, why not play them out? Because we love
it
them.
It is like Raiders, too. I mean, it is trying to...
I was just thinking that. Yeah. I was thinking, like, and not to tie it back to Critters, but I do love the original Critters. I think that there was an element, though, going into that where they were like, oh, my God, Gremlins is huge. We just put together a thing.
Right.
And on a lower budget, we'll make another... people want that.
Yeah.
And this felt like that. It felt like... There's serialized this thing that Lucas and Spielberg have tapped into of bringing back those 30s kind of serialized movies. Yeah, let's do that now.
I think you're absolutely right.
And
it was being done. Like, think about it. At this time, Romancing the Stone exists.
Right.
Right.
Right. That is by far far a better version of this movie.
Yes.
Like Raiders, you know, King Solomon's Mines came out after Raiders. Like all of these
riffs
on that. Yes. And you're absolutely right. This is another one of those, oh, let's keep mining the 30s and 40s, those kind of like pulpy.
Don't worry about script. We got to get this out before
because
someone
else. Were nostalgic for the for the boomer generation. These type of movies hit them right.
Right.
You know, these kind of, because that's
not
what they
one.
Grew up on. Not this one, though. This was, because this one had stars that were younger.
Yes, but the problem was also, like, there is nothing inherently, like, charming about Sean Penn.
No.
Like, he also refuses to look a fool.
Right.
So even her double-crossing
Except
I feel like he wouldn't be willing
fast
to.
Fast times only.
Yeah.
Fast times only.
That's the only way.
Like, he just doesn't, he won't do that.
And you can't look that cool when you have a rickshaw race right at the top of the movie. I mean, like, he's.
Or when you're peeking through a wicker basket.
Right.
again, wicker basket and Raiders.
Yeah.
Karen Allen.
Oh, wow.
That's true. Right.
Yeah.
But no, but it's like they are constantly putting him in these situations where, and this is maybe where we're confused about the slapstick, because I think the movie is supposed to be slapstick. There's even a moment, Avril caught this, I missed it, where the camera.
Wait, did Avril watch this for you?
No, yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah, where the camera is moving towards Chinese lanterns, and you're like, oh, they're not going to hit that Chinese lantern. Oh, they do. The camera just hits the lantern like a Mel Brooks joke. Well, and it's sort of like, is that a joke? Or is like, what are we doing here, people? Because it's like, I feel like the porcelain hands can be a joke, but no one's playing it like a joke. So when he squeezes his hand, you're like, I guess that's serious in the rickshaw race. Yeah.
I took a still, which I don't know if you ever want to put, I don't know what you guys, if you post stuff.
Yeah,
this
we post
an audio medium.
The guy on the left, he's staring right into the camera in the opening of the film.
I actually think Madonna was more capable of doing some of the physical comedy. There was one beat where he walks in after his like all night fuck session, and she hops out of the bed.
That was legitimately
so quickly,
funny,
and it really did make me laugh.
Do you think that she was like kind of conned into it? Like, oh, I'm going to do a fun comedy movie. This will be fun, and then she couldn't be funny because that scene was legitimately funny when she jumps out of the bed. I laughed hard at that.
I mean, I just don't think he was it. He's not doing any comedy in the movie at all.
He's doing some mugging. He's doing some like
he's
facial
broad.
Mugging, but like that's a, I think he also thinks he's being funny.
Well, also his voice is
but I don't
so,
think he is being funny.
It sounds like his voice is prepubescent to me.
He's
trying to act like a macho kind of like Harrison Ford.
Well,
can't carry
Sean
those lines.
Sean Penn was doing a thing that Leonardo DiCaprio has been doing for years, which is he was successful very young.
Right.
And spent his like very young years acting like a man.
Yeah.
Like just trying to convince you that he is a man when
it
he looks like a boy.
Like it's funny. I love DiCaprio stuff, but I watched Inception the other day and I remember the first time I saw it too, having this little moment of like, I gotta believe that this guy has kids and he seems too young for this.
Mm-hmm. He's like, and that's all the way through like the Scorsese movies and everything. You're like, oh, this
that's
is a pretty
boy.
Good movie, Shutter Island. But like, why is this kid is in this thing? Like, it should be like Mike Shannon. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
He doesn't feel like a down and dirty, because he also doesn't feel grimy enough for the 30s. He feels like an 80s version of Sean Penn. There's no affect.
He's not weathered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks, I mean, there's certain moments where he looks downright like, like his eyes are like almost glistening, like a young,
really.
Okay.
But here's my question:
Paul's getting very dreamy.
What was his name in the movie? Did anyone catch it? I don't know if they ever said it.
Oh, they said it at the end. Sean
Wazy. Oh, because I think they said it every single.
Yeah, Mr.
Wazy. They said his name.
I didn't even
they called
notice.
Him Mr. Wazy
constantly.
Oh wow,
constantly. I feel like this movie, the majority of the script, if you took out all the other words, Mr. Wazy would account for 10 solid pages.
This movie
pages.
Is people saying Mr. Wazy and very loud, intrusive jazz, just like exploding into scene.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt this riveting conversation about Madonna, opium, and Sean Penn, but it's time to hear a word from our sponsors. And the first one is our friends over at TeePublic. Head over there, buy a shirt, get in on it. We're releasing new shirts by the week. TeePublic.com/stores/HDTGM. Check out what we got. sales going on there. You can make them the stickers, coffee mugs, whatever bullshit you want. And now let me tell you a little bit about something that's totally not bullshit. It's Squarespace. Squarespace makes it even easier for you to launch your passion project. How? Why? Well, basically, here's the deal. Imagine you want to build a website, but you know nothing about programming. Squarespace comes in and goes, guess what? We'll design about 70. I don't know. We'll give you all these awesome templates. You pick the one you want, and then you start to customize it. Then their thing becomes your thing. And all of a sudden, your thing looks really good because their thing was designed by somebody who's really smart. And then here's the kicker. You're on your phone, it looks good on your phone. You're on your iPad, it looks good on your iPad. You're on your computer, it looks good over there. The information superhighway is moving at fast speeds. Get on the HOV lane when you develop a Squarespace page that can tell people about what you do and who you are, because you know what? You're one Google away from not getting that job or not getting on that date. People need to see what you're putting out there. So if you're a creep and you want to kind of uncreep yourself, make a website. If you're not a creep and you're really talented and you want to show people your work, do it. If you have a new business, show people what is going on there. Take back the narrative, people. Plus, if you want to sell stuff, they have a powerful e-commerce functionality. It lets you sell anything online. Analytics help you grow in real time. Everything's optimized for mobile right out of the box. Buying domains is simple, and you get the help you need with Squarespace's 24/7 award-winning customer support. They empower millions of people, from designers to lawyers to artists to gamers, even restaurants and gyms. They will turn your great idea into something real. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers, offer code bonkers. Can we talk a little bit about the music? I wanted to...
Hey, real quick sidebar. Yeah. Mygan, the guy I keep being obsessed with, yes, the porcelain hands. He realized at a certain point, so he gets his hands blown off, right? And then, spoiler alert, at the end, the Shanghai surprise gets him. He's basically Daffy Duck.
Yes. Oh, right, yeah.
He just keeps getting, like, blown to, like, charred bits.
Do you think they were going to come back for a sequel and Mygan would be, like, following around, like, kind of like Danny Limping. DeVito? And yeah.
I know, I didn't watch the second time he got blown up, because I was scared after seeing the way it looked.
It was like, oh, no, Shanghai surprise.
He just fell to the ground.
But he was he alive?
He's R.I.P.
He's R.I.P.
Yeah.
What was blown off his body?
Oh, they didn't. They should have shown it.
I think the blast got him in the chest.
Actually, it would have been good to do like a Life of Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Different body parts blowing off of him.
I'm not dead.
Because George Harrison produced both.
He did.
Oh, interesting.
George Harrison produced, I mean, this, by the way, George Harrison did the music, and we talk about the music, and I would argue that this music is as incongruous as the performances are.
Yes. Totally.
Because it doesn't feel like of the time.
And just imagine like chirps going on throughout.
Yes.
And I wrote
the
down
the soundtrack's so full of birds.
I've written down some lyrics.
and brown
both real
noise.
And fake.
So much brown noise in this
shitting
one.
Through everything. I wrote down some of the lyrics. Here's one of them, and then we'll play some. It's like, you could be kinder, show me your Asia Minor.
Oh, boy.
That was...
That's like a Yamaha DX7. Understand how I'm gonna stray. Should be sailing away, part lighter. I was knocked down my back on a dock at Yangtze. It's a hell of a way to see China. But I'm ready. I mean, this is a movie set in the 30s.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Why am I hearing 70s, 80s sound?
Oh, yeah. You're basically listening to like a synthesizer, gated drums. It's crazy.
I mean,
what, that sounded also a little like what's the cop show I'm blanking on?
It's NYPD Blue.
Yes.
Right?
I wonder. I wonder what
the NYPD Blue theme song.
I'm gonna see how good it was there. Let's see if we can get it exactly. All right, here we go. The Law and Order theme.
Yes, compare them back to. And then pause and then play the other one. And then play George.
Now. Okay.
The sounds are
slap bass.
Oh man, that Law and Order theme song is so comforting to the soul.
So, you know, because how many
like
nights
coming home?
How many nights did you watch that show when you came home at night?
Like, just falling into a Law and Order wormhole over the holidays.
Oh,
so
great. Game
better.
Over.
One of the things I miss the most about having kids is like that you can't just like like, oh my God, just like go crawl up on the couch.
The best thing about that is also there's so many New York, like great New York theater actors.
Are you kidding? Just so drowning in Jerry Orbach.
I love it. And then you'll watch a marathon on TBS and see like a guy as a like homeless Amy person. Ryan. Yeah. And, like, yeah. And then like he'll show up three episodes later as a federal judge. Yeah.
Hubel does a bit about this. I guess they were trying to cast a part on Law and Order and his part was a guy who's got his dick mutilated, and so he was accused of so sexual assault.
Hubel gets the call.
Yeah, so Hubel had to like get up on the stand and be like, my dick is ripped off! And he had to do a dramatic monologue, but clearly like he was like, they couldn't find anyone to do it because the money just kept on getting better and better. He's like, oh, I don't want to do it. Like, how about now? He's like, no. And he's like, how about now?
And do you
like,
know... have they found
a human giant sketch?
Have they found anybody for that part yet?
I'm
asking just because perfect. I don't know if you've seen the special skills section of my resume, but I do. I can do mutilated dick.
By the way, I know that episode has aired. Please, someone send us a link to it because I need to see it now. After
who got it?
Yeah,
wouldn't it be funny if you watched it now and it was like Sam Rockwell ended up doing it? Somebody who's like not Sam Rockwell, but somebody who like later went on to be incredibly famous.
They were like,
that's what's interesting about Law and Order is they'll pull in some
great people,
really great people.
Oh yeah, who later are like huge
stars. I mean, I auditioned a number of times.
And so did I.
I was never cast.
Never got it. Never got one of them.
What about NYPD Blue?
Never got it.
That was an
but
LA
with
show.
Law and Order, yeah, it didn't cast in New York. And with Law and Order, you'd have to like go to the pier.
Chelsea Pier.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so there's no subway there. There was a line of trail of tears. Yeah.
It was a production to get there. And then to walk back was like a real hard.
Yeah.
It was like a real long walk back to the subway.
Yeah. How about in the file of like things that, oh my God, you could never say something like this today and this is so offensive. Sean Penn's line, when I get out of this tub, I'm going to beat you like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Oh, like this. I've heard redheaded stepchild. I've never heard beat you like a
redheaded stepchild. Oh, that's the phrase. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the absolutely.
This movie, but this movie is overtly racist in a million ways.
Oh, yeah. Even the opening credits feel racist. Yeah,
this. I mean, this movie is rough. Like, if you're looking at it through that lens, it's like, whoa. I mean, when they meet that guy who sells insurance to body parts, I mean, it is... I mean, it is as close as you can get to like a.
Well, even her position as a missionary and like the Christian savior. So, what were they trying to do there, the missionaries exactly?
So this is such a good question because again, I kept assuming, and I was correct in the sense that Father Burns was fake, but I assumed that Madonna was in on his scheme.
Right.
But
maybe we didn't see it yet.
I don't think so. But I believe what they were doing was the missionaries wanted to get the opium so that they could use the opium to
Robin Hood that shit.
They could use they could Robin Hood the opium because people were being
so brutally killed
in
the occupation that they needed medicine.
They needed medicine to help these people.
So and they just needed pain medicine.
Yes.
They just needed money. Yes, essentially.
That's what I could never understand. But this were they going to take the opium and actually like just sell it themselves?
No, I think they were going to use it as like
opium.
Yeah, yeah,
I believe God intended.
Something like that. Yeah,
and I mean the movie, and this is why I feel like the movie is complicated in the sense of it is as if you were pitching it out because like, all right, yeah, so there's opium and they got to find it and they go over there, they talk to this guy, and he's like, go over there, and then they go over here and they go talk.
But
to
then
this
they
guy.
Don't get opium, they get jewels.
Yeah, it's like what's going on?
Oh my God, I forgot about the jewels.
Yeah. Just go, there's no adventure. It's like they just go from place. It's more like real life. Like they go to one place. They get some information. They go to the next place.
So much of it that feels like rushed by a studio trying to make a movie and saying like, don't worry about it. Just pay for Sean Penn and Madonna to get over here.
Or it was like a 140-page script, and they were like, you know what? We don't need that scene. We don't need this.
But we do need set pieces. Set pieces. Rickshaws. Get rickshaws.
And it really was rickshaw like, is going so slow.
I wrote that
been
too.
Running
so slow.
So and yet they're like casually like. Speed up. But it's like, and then when that
they're doing that thing where they're acting like they're going really fast. So they're whipping their heads around like, where are they? Are they right on us?
But meanwhile, if that guy got off the rickshaw, he would have caught up to them.
Yes.
But meanwhile, but then they do a thing where like the rickshaw driver like puts on the brakes.
Yeah.
And like they created a car chase scene.
Right.
Which is why, again, this movie, watching it now.
Look at the Raiders and look at the Romancing the Stone chase scenes. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also, for a movie that had two enormous superstars in it.
Yep.
Who all the world
were living on Beechwood Canyon.
Yes, who all the world was looking at. It looks cheap. It looks bad.
Oh,
it looks like trash.
I got to say this as a filmmaker. the wow, you can't really follow that one.
Hey, buddy, this isn't Unschooled.
Yeah,
right. Sorry,
we'd love to have you on the show to talk about film and directors. You join a great pantheon of people.
Filmmakers, not welcome.
At least I mocked myself midline. The Foley was horrible.
Audience members here,
right?
Yes.
Oh, well, can I bring you into the fold on this one?
Yeah.
The Foley is horrendous. They're like running through crowded streets, and you only hear their footsteps.
Yeah.
Or like you'll hear their dialogue as if they just didn't have money
in
for Foley, or they ran out of money.
In the club, there's no sound in the club.
There's
but
no
them.
Design. It's like.
So I mean, this is right though. What do you
sorry,
think?
Sorry, as a sound designer.
And again, you can come on Spool whenever you want. The budget of this movie, $17 million
dollars
in 1986.
In 1986, $17 million is like $50 million.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big budget for this film that on its first weekend makes $729,000.
Wow. And I worked on a movie in China, and you know, it's non-union over there.
Yeah.
It's very I'm sure it was even worse back in the 80s. They're getting you get like $20 million more for your budget.
Yeah,
so that should be equivalent of like a $100 million movie.
But you know, again, it's all those towels to dry them off after they go in the water.
Right, that's a lot of hair resets. Yeah,
what? Why did they stink like fish? They didn't go into a barrel of dead fish. They just went into the water.
And after they bathed, why do they still smell? Like
yeah,
fish?
Yeah. You would think that was bad fish smell. But I mean, I didn't know that. But maybe they were in like.
But that
whatever that holding pen was just gross.
But again, it's sort of like this is where the movie thinks comedy is. They've taken a bath and everyone's like,
"There's so many bad jokes."
Yeah,
like they ran like that was a runner for them.
Like for People multiple
like,
scenes.
Oh God!
Sometimes stay downwind,
and sometimes there would be a whole scene would unfold, and at the very end, the person would be like, "Poof, you stink!" Like,
right, are we someone still said that in the office. They're like, "Whoa!"
Like, are we still on this?
I didn't know. I thought there was going to be a sub thing of he was sick and was dying. He coughed when Belloc from Raiders, when he walks away, he goes, but it's because they smell.
Yes.
Another bad, terrible joke is when she falls out the window onto that high.
Into the ducts.
Like, what a reveal. It's just out a little window.
I mean, I did laugh when she fell back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. I did.
Well, but it was telegraphed so hard.
She's not going to.
She's like, makes such a production out of it.
But he also runs to the window as if she's. Really falling out the way, like he's not in on the joke that he has. Like,
well, it's so interesting when she's lying there as though she can't get up. She's like rolling around in the mud.
It's also like he comes to the window and starts to laugh, and she's saying, "Don't laugh at me." And that's where I was like, "Oh!"
And they just
in their private relationship, they never laugh.
Oh God! They of course not.
They are so awkward,
yeah.
Trying to affect being delighted and tickled by each other that they are forcing it in a way that does not feel natural at all. These people never. I feel
there's
like Madonna
no levity
and Chopin,
in the relationship.
Not at all. Sat at the table every night, being like, "No, I'm going to be amazing. No, I'm going to be amazing."
Think that he brought her down. Like, do you think that like Chopin's intense acting style brought Madonna to a place where she wasn't comfortable or good? Like, she's better off in the hat, jumping off the bed. Scene more light, more fun.
Oh, I think this That's character does her no favors because it is button up. It doesn't have any of the charm and the kind of what makes Madonna so compelling in the brashness and the charm of Madonna in Desperately Seeking Susan or A League of Their Own or even like
Dick Tracy
a little bit. It's not as
not brash, but it's like there she's tapping into something.
There's something very compelling about her. And you really want to look at her in all these movies. In this movie, not so much.
I did feel like there was an element of like every scene with her, like she just sat through an hour tirade of him screaming at the producers or camera, and then it's like, we're gonna roll, and
it's
she's
a
like,
defeated performance.
Yes, and I put that solely in the lap of Sean Penn,
absolutely.
Who I'm certain is some sort of nightmare person.
By the way, I recently watched was it First Man? Wait, no, what's the Sean Penn show that was he went to space?
What?
Oh, the TV show?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. It got canceled after the first season.
Whoa, I didn't even
know. He's an astronaut.
I think it's like a Hulu or an Amazon show.
Was it not Netflix?
I don't know. Netflix. I'm not sure which, but it's like a streaming show that came out this past year.
He's training these astronauts, and then they die in the pilot, so then he takes over the. Did you find it?
It's called. It's called The First.
The First.
And
so it was playing on First Man.
It was basically everything just said Sean Penn is the saddest astronaut.
Yes. So in that, I became slightly obsessed with his biceps.
Okay.
Because they're so pumped up that it's like as if he did steroid injections just to his biceps and only did curls.
Well, I feel like
and so then when
guys,
I saw this movie, yeah. I was like, let me see if this is a natural thing. They're so big. And he just had normal skinny
arms.
No,
I feel like all those guys, him and Stallone and all those guys are doing HGH and are getting like jacked.
Yes.
You know, like as older guys.
Right.
It's such a weird look.
It's such a weird look.
Which I think that causes cancer.
I'm going to do it.
No, it's
I'm going to get
all do it for the next episode.
I'm going to get so fucking jacked.
It's the same thing that happens with like women aging in their faces and like fucking with their faces. You see all these older actors like just
not looking like people.
Bizarre.
But then I actually think it helps the women who are not doing it because it's so refreshing to be like, "Oh, you've done nothing and they look great."
Or yeah, and that's just the case I think across the board. Like we're living in a time now where an entire generation of actors, both men and women, are altering their bodies in a way to still seem young, and we will look at this later as like a form of like
mutilation,
barbaric behavior where we made ourselves look crazy and everybody was like, "Yeah, no, this is normal."
And
I remember Frances McDormand in an interview saying that she wasn't going to fuck. I mean, mm-hmm. she was not going to fuck with her face because there were parts, not many, but parts for like 60 and 70 year old women and simply no actresses to play them because
yeah. oh, wow.
even if they're that age, because of the work,
they just
look
like Frankenstein. Yeah.
Well, they don't look like real people in the world. They right. look like actors, you know, and actresses. They don't.
How old do you think I look?
Jason, be very careful. You saw the wrath of
the bird. You said premenstrual?
That's correct. Like 2 days away.
If you don't think I know this is a trap, lady.
Why is June taking out a Shanghai surprise right now?
Let me just open these compartments.
Jason, don't just shake June's hand. Don't worry that she's got porcelain hands on right now. By the way, two hands being crushed between porcelain seem like not as painful as because it seems like where's the pressure
Wait,
coming
I thought that
from?
Was going to be like he was doing something for a later scene for us
I
to
thought
see.
So yeah. too, yeah.
Today's show is also brought to you by our good friends at OpenFit. Okay, now what's OpenFit? They are a brand new, simple streaming service that takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. Okay, basically what they realize is everybody has a different body, which is smart. So they personalize a workout to your needs. And they give you custom tailored content. I got this. I love it. It's like basically having a trainer that lives in your phone. They're real people. You can work out anywhere in as little as 10 minutes a day using your computer or web-enabled TV or your tablet or your smartphone or your Roku. It is great. I literally have started working out because of OpenFit, okay? Because it's right there. I was like, well, let me just check it out. They're sponsoring the show. I was like, I love this. It's not like shitty graphics and a whistle and a computer voice going, now do push-ups. No, they're helping me achieve my goal. My goal is different than your goal, and your goal should be different than my goal. And anyway, with my code BONKERS, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized for you. Again, my code BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S. You start using OpenFit on your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, my listeners will get a special extended 30-day free trial membership where you can lose 15 pounds in 30 days. Just text BONKERS to 303030. That's 303030. You text BONKERS to 303030, and you'll get a full access to OpenFit's workouts and nutrition information for free. That's BONKERS to 303030. Standard messaging and data rates apply. People, the new normal is here, brought to life in a short film that runs only 2 minutes long and directed by legendary director Spike Jonze and actor Jesse Williams. The new normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition. It depicts a product that was once regulated to back alleys as one that today is creating a new global market, okay? It's about a plant that was feared, that was tied to madness, and now it represents a source of calm and wellness. Do you know what plant I'm talking about? Can you even fathom it? It's not a dandelion. It ain't no rose. It's not a tulip. No, but you can go to MedMen and experience the new normal today. Even better after you check out that video, which is actually pretty great. I mean, Spike Jonze, did he ever not make something that's awesome? You can check out MedMen for yourself. Visit one of MedMen's 15 locations. Here's the deal, people. This thing will blow your mind. They're like the Apple Store of cannabis. They have people helping you. They're smart. They have beautiful designs. You walk into this place and you feel like, hey, I don't need to be embarrassed. I don't need to be ashamed. I have needs. I have wants. I have things that I need to do in my life. And this place is going to make it accessible. iPad set up on tables. You can play around. You can find out information. A knowledgeable staff. A clean, crisp environment. Everything about it reeks class. Even the branding is cool. I love MedMen. They have an amazing selection and just a shopping environment that makes you honestly want to enjoy cannabis more and more. MedMen is helping drop the labels for cannabis users. When in store, use the promo code BONKERS at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. What? I could have done that. I didn't even know. Son of a bitch. Use it every time. Just say bonkers at checkout. Go visit MedMen today. Say bonkers at checkout. Say bonkers at checkout. Let them know that we sent you. Terms and conditions apply. Now, we talked a little bit about the main actor's performances, but I think that this clip from the documentary is pretty amazing. So in this clip, an interviewer is talking to our two side characters. That's Harry Potter and the other guy. Because we haven't even talked about the other guy because he's so inconsequential, but here we go.
People and things.
And I play this, well, he was written Dutch. I don't play it Dutch. I play it Romanian because I can do a Romanian accent. That's the only reason why. There are not too many Romanians checking up, are there?
I never said a word. Thank you. I didn't say a word.
Did you so your accent's Romanian. You have to keep, you do that
and
all
you
the
couldn't tell?
No, I wasn't. I thought you were meant to be a sort of lounge lizard French type.
French? Yeah, oh, look, I'm sorry. There's a huge difference
I'm
between.
Sorry.
No, no.
But I did do
I'm
that.
Fine, okay.
Rob? Sorry. I'm very stupid girly.
No. It's just a black frog.
What you? Yeah.
Is that Paul Freeman?
That's
Belloc?
No, that's other guy. I mean, the most uncomfortable, and they left it in the doc. They left it in. They didn't cut it out. I thought you
girly.
Were playing
so
French.
Weird.
That was the other guy that's part on
pops
the
pops up everywhere.
Yeah, the guy's chasing on the
rickshaw. That guy's weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was like day one when he received that feedback or like toward the end of the movie.
You when you watch the clip, it is
he's heartbroken.
It is a rough clip too.
I love that character is supposed to be Dutch.
Romanian.
And that, well now he's doing it Romanian because that's the accent he can do.
Well, this movie was based on a book called Faraday's Flowers.
Which did you guys like better? You read the book too.
Well, I mean, of course. I read the book for the podcast. Yeah, Faraday's Flowers is fun. And I think this movie kind of
Which title is better?
If this is called Faraday's Flowers.
By the way, better title. Shanghai Surprise I didn't like as a title.
I liked it and I was more hopeful for the movie because it sounded fun.
Well, that's what you think. The movie seems light and fun. Here's the director talking about the book. This is also pretty great.
Well, I read this book, and the book wasn't very good, but I thought that the book had a kind of a Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn relationship like an
African from African Queen?
Yeah, African Queen.
Not always.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, two opposites who attract and an adventure story.
Also
and,
seems defeated.
A lot of excitement and some... exotic locations and people.
He seems
That's the author?
That is the director of the movie going, I didn't like the book, but it's got two people who opposites attract in a location. Like,
in Queens, we used to watch that. I don't know.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to get back to fixing these cars. He's doing that interview at like an active car garage.
Excuse me, we have a water stunt coming up.
It just seems to me that you have like the biggest stars, a big budget movie. No one wants to do this movie.
Everybody seems miserable.
I feel like Sean Penn picked this movie. Like Sean was like, if we want to do a movie together, we're going to do this one.
Babe, then we'll travel to, we'll go to Beijing.
We'll go to Beijing.
I saw something. It said, according to All Movie, one film critic back then termed the film flop suey.
Oh boy,
which I like.
This movie was nominated for 6 Razzies: Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Actor, Worst Screenplay.
How long have the Razzies been around?
I mean, seriously,
for a long time.
I didn't know that they had been around that long.
The only one that won the Razzie that year was Madonna.
Good job.
And then she won the year following for Who's That Girl? She did a back to back.
But it was an honor just to be nominated for the other.
Yeah. I would like to watch. Part of me was like, I wasn't very familiar with Madonna's work. I have never seen Desperately Secret.
I love Desperately Secret.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch
that's
that again.
That's for though. Unspooled, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is boy. It?
Oh, I don't is think it? It's. I don't. I doubt it's on the AFI list. Well, Paul, time to start a new podcast.
Ooh. You know what the best
called
part about this
Between
podcast?
The Cracks. Between the Cracks. Not so bad. That, it's bad. Not so good. It's great.
Why is Paul writing that down?
It is my Patreon, and I think we can. If you guys get in early now, you can get in
for
early.
For those beloved movies that have fallen through the cracks.
You want to get your Patreon.
Desperately Seeking Susan. The Goonies.
Jason, we'd love to have you on. We could talk about
it. Oh, yeah, sure.
As a director,
might I?
Get
a couple out there. Do you have any, when you work with a lot of sound designers, can you give me their names and numbers?
Sure, I'll airdrop it. one more quick thing, sorry. Paul Freeman, early in the movie, he says, opium, it's the best international currency in the world. Half the weight of gold and twice the value. So my first thought was, how is he weighing? Which is weird. And then, like, international currency, like, you can, like, walk into, like a grocery store in New Jersey, right, and you're like, here's some opium.
I did see her with dollar bills at one point. Did anyone else?
They handed it to her.
Right.
She was going to be his keeper. They didn't want to give him the money flat out.
So
and then he spent it on baijiu or something. He drank some
Yeah. She gave him some money to get rice, but he bought rice wine.
Right.
Oh, this sneaky guy.
Again,
was he an alcoholic?
Oh, rice wine.
He loves booze.
But this is the
but
thing.
But then he didn't drink the rest of the.
Like, he's never showing you any of these other sides. Obviously, we had opinions.
He said he was a severe alcoholic, that he was
he's getting the shakes.
Yes.
Yeah. But all that stuff goes, everything goes away. Because if we are just to know...
Especially if he's an older guy like Humphrey Bogart.
Yes.
Right? The thing about Humphrey Bogart in African Queen or in any of the Humphrey Bogart movies is he is a
weathered,
like, dropout. Same with Michael Douglas in Romancing the Stone. Somebody who's left the civilized world, grizzled, is, like, out for number one. Like
that he looks like he got out of high school, like, 2 years before
Exactly. This. And is doing fine.
Yeah.
It's, like, felt like a bit of, like, overconfidence. Compensating how much he was trying to be like a man.
And when you see him on the dock, he's not imposing at all. Like, if you put like Harrison Ford in that role or something, or even Kevin Costner at that point, he's like, come on, guys, come on.
So when I first saw him, I just thought that's an insane person.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's screaming and Madonna's having to sit there watching her husband.
Right, but it's not like...
At first I thought it was not Sean Penn. I thought they were encountering a lunatic. And then I was like, oh, no.
Yes.
But his voice is like, this is that era where Sean Penn's voice is, I got it, I did. It's like, it's kind of like Gilbert Godfrey.
In that scene, he is speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
So then he's definitely doing some weird accent to speak Chinese. That is in and of itself problematic.
Method Chinese.
Translator on set going, no, you're hitting the accent wrong. I got it. I remember
she's
when
like, no, I mean you're hitting English wrong.
When I did 30 Rock, I had to learn Mandarin for a scene, and my instructor was literally off camera, like in my sight line. And when I would do an inflection, I'd be like, it was the most
disheartening. Just shake their head at you while you could see them.
Yeah, it was like, that was tough to learn. Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.com. 46 reviews total, proving Jason's point that this is a very unwatched film.
Yeah. 46 reviews total.
Total.
Not just 5-star.
No, 32% were 5-star, 22% were 1-star. This one was written by Blueberry Banshee 6040, and it goes like this. Now a classic Madonna picture from the lady herself. An oriental fortune cookie delight for all Madonna fans.
No, thank you.
A great adventure story with oriental flavor.
Oh, boy.
5-star. Yikes.
Not great.
Typing that at a Klan meeting.
And then this one, this is the only other one kind of worth reading. This is from Zen Kitty. The title is Give It a Chance. And it says, Madonna and Sean are both sexy and adorable. The plot is full of fun twists, and the ending is so uplifting. Is it? I don't think so. I don't think it's Oscar-worthy, but it does what a good movie should do. It entertains. This is Madonna's most natural performance. She doesn't overpower the movie like she does in all of her other work. She's not as mannered or as affected here as she is in later films. And then the only the stiff part is in the beginning where it's she seemed to be reading off of cue cards. The rest of the
meanwhile,
performance
this is still
very
a five
natural.
Star review.
Yeah, I can see why Sean and Madonna wanted to do this. It had potential to be well received. But I think the media could kind of make and break you. The media was really fed up with the poison pens, and that's why they trashed this movie. Five stars. I heartily disagree. I don't think this is a movie. I think maybe in better hands it could have been better made. I don't know. Miscast, misdone, misdirected, miswritten
yeah.
across the board.
It really is like it is missed opportunity on every level. These are good actors. These are charming people. They have a real relationship. None of that comes through.
By the way, put them in After Hours. I would love to see that movie, like yeah. Madonna like and him and like that curates the same dynamic, like the Rosanna Arquette.
Well, that is basically Desperately Seeking Susan.
Oh, is it?
Without, okay. With it, but it's Patricia Arquette instead of Sean Penn or somebody like
that. After
Hours,
great movie to watch if you want to see 80s Soho before it was
I know. It is so awesome. Amazing. I just rewatched it. And I watched that other movie that's
why'd
kind of
you
like
rewatch it?
No big deal, just for fun.
Oh,
no.
This is rich.
For my new podcast, In Between the Crack. That's actually produced by Don Strong. I don't know if you know Don Strong. Don Strong is a very big guy in the podcast world. It's no big deal. He also produces Taking the Leap, the Quantum Leap podcast. It's no big deal with Jason Gore. Anyway, people, a big inside joke for five people who will get that. The movie came out in 1986. The top three films of that year are Top Gun, Crocodile Dundee, and Platoon, also on the AFI Top 100 list. The movie came in 142 out of all the movies made in 1986. It was beaten by Cobra, Howard the Duck, Maximum Overdrive, and The Wraith. This movie, though, beat Rad and Solar Babies. So of the movies we've done, it actually did better than Rad and Solar Babies.
All those movies you just listed came out the same year?
Yeah.
Wow.
The soundtrack was never released by George Harrison. And
but he released it on a later album, I think.
Yeah, see, they released like one version of the song on the remastered version of Harrison's album Cloud Nine. Any final thoughts? Anything that we didn't cover that you feel like we need to get out?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we broke down this movie
in
a way that
we did the
this,
basket yeah. scene. We did the sex scenes. I didn't like it when the Empress was shown to have no fingernails.
I did not like that insert shot.
It really made me uncomfortable.
This is what was so weird. If it's a screwball comedy, why are we seeing this torture. Unnecessary
and
gore?
And we see him be tortured as well. The scene where he's in a chair with like spears against his neck.
Terrible.
I was like, this is a very high concept bit of torture here.
Yes.
And it involves people hammering the legs of the chair.
But with a low budget.
Yeah,
just that he had those like little dots around his neck. I also wanted to just bring up this one point when he goes to the boat to have his fuck session with that woman. He's so enamored with a very uninteresting looking statue. Like he like looks at that statue like, ooh, what is this? And it's like, it looks fine. It doesn't look anything special at all. But he really, I thought that was such an odd moment. Like, can we dress up the statue just a little bit? Or I don't know.
Well, wasn't that the statue that ended up having the jewels in it?
I thought the statue that he carried had the jewels in it.
I don't remember.
I assumed all the statues maybe had jewels on them.
But they
I'm
weren't
not
even
sure.
jewels. Who knows?
My two final thoughts.
That's right. Yeah. She betrays them at the end, right? The Empress
does,
has double-crossed
them. She gives them a doll, and it...
So when Sean Penn and Madonna escape at the end, but are together at the end, they have no money, they have nothing, just their love?
Just their love.
They have the
they have all the opium.
They do the opium.
Yeah,
okay,
The opium's in the Thai case.
Yeah.
Ah!
Because he was keeping all of it in there. Which you missed too.
I did.
So maybe
maybe it was cut out of the YouTube version that Jason watched.
Oh, maybe. Although by the end of this movie, I was not paying attention.
Yeah. No, I was
actively trying to get here.
I was pacing around my living room trying to stay awake.
I was recording another podcast.
By though, if Father Byrne already had the opium, he was just coming back to try to get the jewels.
I guess.
Oh,
he's very greedy.
Wow, Jun, you just opened up a whole thing.
I mean, he had the opium the entire time.
Maybe that was a mislead.
Wait, did he have the opium?
Yes,
had
because
it.
When Sean Penn was at the docks with the ties,
he just stole it from the boat.
He took, yeah.
Right, but had Father Byrne gotten it at some point during the movie? Did we just not see him?
Put the ties maybe he's always possible.
Oh yeah, when did he get it?
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Well, also,
wow. I mean, we definitely didn't see that scene, but
will this be part of what's covered on Unspooled about this movie?
Hopefully. Knockwood, you know, we're doing really great. We're up to almost 50 movies so far. So it's been a lot of fun. Me and Amy, you know, getting shout outs here and there. So much.
Here's my two final thoughts. One was that, you know, I mentioned the 1 year later thing always bugs me. The other thing that bugs me, the only movie I've been okay with it for some reason is in Rocky III when they freeze and turn into a Leroy Neiman painting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like a freeze frame shot at the end of movies.
I wrote that down. It's so weird. It's so unnerving. It's like the end of a bad sitcom.
And it's also like, huh? It's also going like, huh? Masterpiece, huh?
Right.
I mean, it's great in Police Squad when they make fun of it.
I do feel like they had to freeze frame it because she's cheering there and she has no idea why.
Right.
She just thinks she's waving. She's like, I'm waving goodbye.
He's like, say goodbye, blow some kisses. And she's like, she has no idea.
She doesn't understand
that was bizarre. Like, she should have known, right?
Of course. So she just starts doing it, and I feel like they couldn't play that moment out.
Yeah.
Because
wait till later when we unfreeze, she'll find out about how great it is. And then,
they will get arrested trying to smuggle opium into the United States.
Standing on a dock with opium. The other thought was I want to watch the version or just the end of the YouTube version that Jason found and see what it recommends as the next video.
Right, what the algorithm.
Yeah.
So at the end, you just thought they were...
They're waving goodbye to him. I knew that Sean Penn had taken...
Do you remember him saying, you have to wave? Why was he saying that? He was saying it because he was like...
And she's saying, like, why is he... What's he doing?
She was mad at him. She said, no, I'm not waving at
him. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I thought that Sean Penn... It makes total sense that he got the opium. I thought... Oh, they must have figured out getting the diamonds, like real diamonds. Like there must have been some, because that was what the scene previous had been about.
I want to see what Jace was doing the moment that Sean Penn uncovers the opium.
Oh, shot. I was honest to God, like driving here.
Right.
Like, driving here.
Yeah.
You would have missed it.
Guys, don't drive and watch Shanghai Surprise.
You would have.
I mean, what a sad way to go.
And for anyone, any other innocent victims to know.
Oh, I know.
Okay, just
for
so
them
you know,
to know is all because of Shanghai Surprise.
It really makes me
like,
so
like this movie Jordan. Hasn't done enough to hurt,
I'm gonna
to
I'm
hurt
gonna,
people.
I'm going to answer Jordan's question. The two movies that are recommended after you watch Shanghai Surprise
for
on
free.
YouTube for free are Caveman starring Ringo Starr and the drama The Last Days of Frankie the Fly. A comedy drama with Dennis Hopper.
Wow.
I wonder if the first one was just because of the Beatles tie-in.
That's what I think it has to be. Jordan, you are a great director. You directed Zombievers.
And then I became a great director.
You just had a movie play at Slamdance, and you've tackled this Critters world. You've reopened the Critters franchise with a brand new series, Critters: A New Binge, which you can stream right now on Shudder, which is a great kind of
AMC's Shudder. It's a good app. They have a bunch of great stuff on there.
Yeah, really, really cool.
And
stuff.
I'm not just saying that.
No, like indie stuff and big mainstream stuff. Like even things like Mandy is on there, and you have like great, it's a new
Greg
and old
Nicotero
stuff.
Has some stuff. In
yeah. That. So talk to us a little bit about this movie, or your not movie TV show.
Oh well, yeah. We actually it felt like we shot it like a movie. It was. Shot it up in Vancouver. It was a pretty quick shoot, but a pretty fun budget for me. It was Warner Brothers, and they approached me, I guess, because I'd done Zombievers. And, you know, I didn't realize how deep the fan base of Critters was, but it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So I delved back into that, and we got really heavily involved in personifying them a lot more. There's a couple moments, like barely, of subtitles in the original film. And so we did it. We heavily leaned in, my writing partners, John and Al and I, on writing a bunch of dialogue, which was a lot of fun to do.
And for the Critters.
And they look awesome. Like the you kind of kept it practical for the most part. So they look really
practical.
Amazing.
You know, CG cleanup, but
Yeah.
You know, yeah, old school kind of 80s practical.
What can people expect? Like, give us the log line of Critters.
You can expect the Krites from the original. You can expect a creature feature, but you can expect a lot more comedy than, you know, because that's my background. And
do you feel like it's like an Unspooled or Between the Cracks? Or,
you know, I'd say it's sort of, it's one of those rare movies that straddles both.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. See, that's really good. We should definitely cover that.
So I think it's going to need to be on both.
Yeah. And it's a little like, it has like a little Stranger Things element to it too, because it's more of like young kids with Critters. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a series. It's like ongoing.
It's a digital streaming series. So it's like 8, 10 minute episodes.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, got it.
But they dropped it all at once.
Oh, okay. So it is like it is the length of a movie, but it's cut up into pieces.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I love it. Critters New Binge on Shudder. Check it out. Which I think your visual style is so good, and then your comedy style is always great.
And when they meet together, it's like heart to heart.
I love
Horrible
it.
Horrible reference.
It's like Sean Penn and Madonna.
It's like, hey, wait a minute.
Jason, what do you want to plug?
Where are we right now? A
couple weeks later.
Okay. So I will plug John Wick 3, which comes out middle of May.
So exciting.
If you want to come out and see that.
TikTok, Mr. Wick.
Yes, TikTok, Mr. Wick. So I'll plug that.
And that's going to be in like theaters? The John Wick, is that?
No, the whole thing is coming straight to you. Apple's pushing it straight to everyone's phone, just like the YouTube.
They're cutting into a digital series, right?
Yes. It's cut into 3-minute segments that you're going to get as a text message.
Wow, that's really cool. Very cool. Very cool way to do this.
And I play, just so people know, the animated parrot. I'm the voice of John Wick's new animated parrot.
Oh, I love that. Wow. I was getting nervous for a second. Yeah, no, I feel like, by the way, for John Wick to have a parrot, we've all been hoping. Yeah,
well, that's the thing, is he spends so much of the movie alone, not being able to talk to someone else. They were like, let's give him someone to talk to.
I just fear, though, anytime he's had an animal, it doesn't go well.
I know, that's true.
Well, we'll see. Spoilers.
No spoilers, guys, no spoilers.
Okay, a couple weeks. Longshot will be coming out on May 3rd.
Mm-hmm. May 3rd, and you are in Longshot with who?
Yes, I'm in Longshot with Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen.
Very exciting, and it's super funny. It killed at South by Southwest. And I will just plug that I have an ongoing comic book series called Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History, and it comes out monthly for 6 issues. The first issue, Fantastic Four. This one was about Spider-Man, and the next one is going to be about the X-Men.
Did you say this coming out in a couple of weeks?
They keep on coming out.
So I'll be directing. No, I mean this podcast.
This podcast. Yeah,
I'll be directing the sequel to Endgame.
Oh, great! Oh, wow! Yeah. Wow, really exciting.
No, not really, but I just felt I wanted to sound like I had something cooler in 2 weeks.
And then also, just a reminder that if you have not watched Black Monday yet, you can watch it all now in demand. The whole season, 10 episodes, only 4 hours of content. You can binge it on a lazy Sunday. All right, big
and also that reminds me, Lazy Sunday. The digital short still available online. Check it out.
And we are actually we're talking to people about remaking it.
Yes,
higher production values and.
Sorry, you're saying we. Do you mean us, or do you mean you and Amy Nicholson?
Well, do you mean the royal we?
If Amy is not available, I'm going to come to you guys for sure.
Yeah.
Guys.
You guys are doing the top digital shorts, right? AFI's list of top digital shorts.
I don't want to announce it before we're supposed to, but sure. ladies and gentlemen, I want to give a big thanks to Nick Kiley, does all of our research. Avril Halley, who not only watched this movie, but found the documentary and then watched that. So thank you, Avril. You can follow her on Movie Bitches on YouTube.
Somebody put her on watch. Is she okay?
Sam is back in an engineer position here. We love to have Sam back. Everybody at Earwolf, thank you so much. And if you want to comment on this movie, you can just go to our Earwolf message boards. Leave us a message at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And we will talk to you in our mini episodes. We will see you next week for a mini episode of How Did This Get Made?
Hi, everybody. Chris Gethard here. It's Dungeons & Dragons week. Beautiful and honest. Not really. We just randomly had 2 phone calls that involved Dungeons & Dragons, so we're putting them out in the same week, and that makes it Dungeons & Dragons week. If you don't know Beautiful Anonymous, I do take phone calls. I take hour-long phone calls with an anonymous stranger each week, and one of the episodes coming out this Friday, a skilled and experienced dungeon master happened to call in, got through on the line, led me on an hour-long quest. That episode drops on Friday, May 10th. It's ridiculous. Very silly. I love it.
I will murder everyone in this village until I speak to the council. Lothax of the hills!
Your bear humps you.
Go around this town and start killing people until this council lets me talk and say my piece.
You send your giant grizzly bear companion to start slaughtering people in the street, I guess.
Yes! Tuesday's episode, though, episode 162, is titled A Hero's Journey. It's really special. Had a very powerful conversation with somebody who had not slept in days.
I've been up for, like, nearly 2 days now. I just got back this morning from a, like, eight-hour drive to go check on a friend of mine who was suicidal last night.
That's bad. I'm sorry.
She, like, is somebody we played Dungeons & Dragons with. Last night was the first time I actually met her.
I've been thinking about this conversation for weeks. So happy I finally get to share it with you. Her story really represents what I love about this podcast and the community that surrounds it. I hope you check it out. Subscribe to Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People wherever you listen to podcasts.